Needed. Can we talk? I mean, can we really talk without jumping to conclusions, being insulted, or passing judgments? I hope so, because I have a confession to make. I don't want to preach. Well, that's not quite the truth either. I just don't want to preach on these particular passages. It's like Christmas and Easter. Everyone has heard the story. Most of you have heard the sermons. And well, by now, after hearing both of them, I know that some of you are busy plotting the schedule for the rest of the day. And I don't blame you. If I wasn't the pastor, I'd probably be doing the same thing. I mean, let's face it. Joseph and the amazing Technicolor coat, dream coat, was on Broadway. How can you top that in a 20-minute sermon? And as for Peter walking on the water, well, you know the joke, don't you? You've heard the pun, and while some of you have even read the entertaining and informative book, if you want to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat. And so what's the point? What can possibly be said on either one of these passages that hasn't already been said? Over and over and over again. That's why after I railed against the idiots that put these two passages together in the lectionary, I went to God to plead my case. See, the problem is that I promised God and everybody else that I would preach the lectionary during August. And so I went to God and I pleaded my case. Man, I was cooking, I was on fire, I was smoking. And then I took a breath. And God invited me to be quiet. Actually, it was more like, save your opinion for somebody that cares. And then I felt as though I was being told to use my seminary degree for something that was useful and try doing a little of exegetical research. I couldn't come up with a good excuse not to preach on these passages. And you know, it's amazing what happens when you follow God's advice. The things I learned and the insights I gained were absolutely amazing. Why, after just a few hours of research, I had come up with enough information to actually preach a whole entire sermon series on these passages, but I'm stuck with the lectionary for the rest of August. And so I'll share with you one thing that I learned. These passages aren't about us. It's not about Joseph either, and he really was a spoiled brat. It's not about Peter, who was really spontaneous beyond his own good. Those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, which obviously wasn't me, what they learn is that that both of these stories, both of these passages, they're actually about the faithfulness of God and the extreme measures that are taken to save us. So forget all of the sermons that you've heard preached about Peter's lack of faith and his taking his eyes off of Jesus. Yeah, you can even forget the water. What you need to focus on instead is the very first part of the passage. Jesus has sent his disciples to the other side of the lake. He stays behind to dismiss the multitudes that keep following him. And when he finally gets them to leave, Jesus goes to a place by himself to pray. Now, while he is praying, the disciples are on the water. And as evening descends upon them, a storm sets in. Now, nowhere in this passage does it say that the disciples were afraid of the storm. Remember, they were fishermen, the majority of them. You had a tax collector thrown in there and a zealot, but for the most part, the disciples were fishermen. This was something that they had grown up with. From the time they were young boys, they had fought the storms on the lake. All the passage says is that the wind was against them. On towards morning, they're tired, and they look out, and they see a figure coming towards them. That's when they become frightened. It's a ghost, they cry out. Now Jesus hears them crying, thinking that he's a ghost, and so Jesus immediately responds, no, guys, it's okay, it's me. Now, do you remember what Peter says? He says, if it is you, Lord, command me to come to you. If it is you. So Jesus says, okay, Peter, come on. And Peter, being Peter, climbs out of the boat and begins to walk towards Jesus. Now, Matthew says that at some point, Peter realizes what he's doing. The reality sinks in, and he becomes frightened of the wind, and he begins to sink. It is then that Jesus reaches out and grabs him. And what does Jesus say? Think about it. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Friends, we live in a society that has fallen in love with what we call the prosperity gospel. And at its core, this particular gospel holds that if we get right with Jesus Christ, our life is going to be smooth sailing all the way. He'll save us from everything. We'll be rich, or at least well off. We'll be healthy. Our children will be responsive. We will have the good life. And if you buy into the prosperity gospel, you're going to be extremely disappointed. Because at some point, the storms are going to start raging. They're going to start blowing you around. You're not going to know where to turn to. You're going to be afraid. You're going to feel alone. It's going to be dark. You're not going to be able to see what's ahead of you. And you're going to cry out. Now, when the storms are raging, and when we are afraid of what the darkness holds, it is vitally important to remember that it is not about us. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot come up with the answers that we need. When the storms are raging, it's about Jesus. And you better know who he is and what he'll do. Anna Carter Florence contends that in this passage in Matthew, we are told exactly what we need to know and what we must believe. When the wind and the waves are around us, when life has become more than we think we can hold, according to her, what we need to remember is Jesus is the one who will walk on water to save us. Jesus is the one who will call us over the tumult. Jesus is the one who will hold out a hand and pull us out of the boat. Jesus is the preacher in the perfect storm. And most important of all, it's not up to us to walk on water. It is up to us to hear the call and then to believe it is not a ghost, not a tempter, not our imaginations playing tricks on us, but that it is really and truly Jesus. When we're in the middle of the storm, Jesus is the one who will come. He is the one who will hold out his hand and pull us to safety. In the end, we have to believe. Why do you doubt? Why do you doubt? To God be the glory.